You know, when we look tonight at just a short little segment of the Bible, and it's so difficult to even try to explain it in a way. You know, when you think of the prayers of the Bible, do you know, if you study that out, you know, there's probably, and I could be wrong tonight, there's probably around 650 prayers mentioned in the Bible. And if I'm not mistaken, there's probably around 450 of those prayers and how God answered them. And we're going to look at a prayer tonight of one man. Matter of fact, the title of tonight's sermon basically is, "What is Your Name?" And we need to think about that for ourselves as well. And so as we look at this prayer of one man, let me say to you on this, as we're approaching July 4th, it's interesting because Jabez wanted one thing, or you could say many things, but the main thing he wanted was freedom. Is there anything greater than being free? Boy, listen, there's not. And you know, Friday is what, July 4th, and we're going to be celebrating, what, 250 years of freedom, the Independence Day, the July 4th, 1776, when we signed that declaration, or they did. I wasn't born then. Some of you said, "Bill, were you there?" No. When they signed that, and we proclaim independence and freedom from Great Britain, amen? And what a day that was. And of course, you know, when we think about that, I mean, your families, I don't know, many of you were like me. My forefathers, we came from Ireland. And we landed or came to America before, my family did, before the Revolutionary War. And some of my forefathers actually fought in the Revolutionary War. Now, but with all that being said, what we want to see tonight about this July 4th that is coming is that when America declared independence and truly became the United States of America, the 13 colonies and so forth, then started a process where people from all over the world, and has continued to even this day, they have forsaken their homeland and said, "I want to go to America because I want to live as a free woman or a free man." Amen? And they risk their lives to get here. They gave up everything that they had. Some of them arrived, you know, remember the Statue of Liberty there? What was it? Is it Ellis Island, right? My history, my mind is foggy tonight. I mean, think of all those that came and they saw the Statue of Liberty and they were in America. And they, like I said, they risked their lives. They gave up everything to be free. And may I say, if you really study history, it's unbelievable what it cost our forefathers when we became a nation. You understand? Many of them lost everything they had. Do you know that many of them, I don't want to get off the subject, I'm going to get to my sermon, but many of them, they gave up their entire fortunes to fund the military, to feed them and clothe them and make sure they had ornaments. Think about that. And they never regained what they lost. See, freedom is costly. Amen? And tonight, our freedom as Christians, this is not our homeland, is it? No. Are we on the way home? Yes, we are. And did that freedom that we have now in Christ, was it costly? It cost Jesus his life, didn't it? He paid for our debt, our sin debt. Jesus told us in John 8:36, "Whom the Son makes free is free indeed." And loved one, that is real freedom. Amen? Now, in our text tonight, there, if you look in verse 1, there are 118 names that are listed in the family of Judah. Okay, and I'm going to have Pastor Raul and Pastor Hector come up here and read all these names, if you don't mind, and tell us what each of them mean. Is that okay? I'm teasing. Have you ever tried? You know what? If you have the old Bibles, like the old King James, like I do, did you know? Remember when the names were self-pronouncing? Never mind. All right. I missed that about that because you could read it and pronounce them the way they told you to, this and with all the phonics and all that, and made you sound like you were smart, okay? Now, so with all that being said, we have 118 names listed tonight in the family of Judah, but we don't have any details really that's given about them. Out of all of the names that are listed, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit does something. He records for us one paragraph, one paragraph in the midst of the 118 names, one paragraph about one person and his one prayer. And we know so little about the person in our text except that he was introduced just abruptly into the genealogy of Judah. So what we do know is that what he prayed must mean a tremendous amount because it's recorded for us, isn't it? Think about that, out of all those names. So Jabez was praying for something. He was praying not only for just a new beginning for his life and all of that, a new start and whatnot, but he wanted freedom. He wanted freedom from the things that he had gone through in his life. And you could say even specific freedoms in the areas of his life. So beginning in verse 1, let's start. It says, now Jabez was what? More honorable than his brothers, his siblings. So what a word recorded. How would you like that to be recorded about you? Amen? So we start off and we're given one single distinction about Jabez. That's it. He was more honorable than his brothers. Then something happens. We're going to talk about his mother. Then we're going to move into the incredible prayer and how God answered that prayer. And Jabez only prays, if I counted correctly, 32 words. 32 words. And you know what's amazing here is that how God answered it. You know, prayer is not an experiment. Did you know that? Prayer is the work. Amen? Prayer always is going to be the work. And Jabez was hurting. And he went to the only person really in the universe that could help him, and that is God. Now, I want you to listen carefully. This is just a thought for me, okay? When it says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, okay? If you look up in the Hebrew honorable, you'll find that it is mentioned about 14 times in the Old Testament there. Five times it's recorded as glorious, which is a manifestation of God's presence, if you will. 13 times as heavy, 7 times as hardened, and then the word also burdensome or grievous. So I'm not trying to add to Scripture. I'm only trying to define this one little quick paragraph. It seems to me that Jabez in his life was really weighed down and heavily weighed down. That word can mean that. So look at it, verse 9 again. It tells us, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name what? Jabez. So she named him. She called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain, or the Hebrew there, I bore him in sorrow, or I bore him in grief. Now, the name Jabez means this: he causes sorrow. How would you like to have a name like that? He causes sorrow. So his mother called his name Jabez. Was it because she was, I mean, when you have a child, you are in pain, amen? I would not know. I don't want to ever know that either. But I do know this. 8 days, if you're a Jew, 8 days after a child is born, when the circumcision occurs, that's usually when you name the child. You follow me? I mean, she had ample opportunity to change the name from, you know, you caused me pain, or you know, you caused me sorrow, or I'm sorrowful that I had you, or whatever. But I mean, I think you could come up with a better name that I'm sorry you were ever born. Amen? Isn't that a horrible thing? Now, how would you like to have that name all of your life? How would you like to have, remember, you know, when you were in school, did you have nicknames that people called you? Did you like that? 3 of you had that, huh? Now, let's look at his desire. It says, and Jabez called. Literally, he prayed in faith, and the object of his faith depended upon the God of Israel. So he prayed, and he said this. Now, with all that being said, Job made a statement. Job said in Job 5:7, he says, yet man who is born to trouble. Sparks fly upward. But as for me, I would seek God. That's what Jabez did. And to God I would commit my cause, who does great things, unsearchable things, and marvelous things without number. So if you've heard me say many, many times, the power of prayer is not in the one who prays it, the power of prayer in the one who hears it. Amen? Now, Jesus told us to, for us in what Matthew 7:7, he told us to ask when we pray. He says, ask and it will be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So once again, it seems, just as we start, that Jabez, he's weighed down with some kind of hurt. We don't know what it is. I mean, was he unloved by his mom or something? We just don't have that. Was he worn out from some kind of pain from his past? We don't know. We're not told. What we do know is that this prayer of his was specific, and he prayed for five specific things. Look at verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, and look at that word, oh. Everyone say, oh. Oh, you know, that word is intense. That's intense language. It's not just, oh, it's like, oh, right? He's crying out that you would bless me indeed. In other words, Jabez was saying, will you do what no one else can do? And he says, not only would you bless me, but would you bless me indeed? Now listen, I want you to see something. Did Jabez ask for money? No. I heard someone one time years, many years ago, when I heard a preacher actually preach this verse. And he said, well, it was about funds. He wasn't asking for money. He asked one thing. God, would you pronounce me, Jabez, sorrowful, as blessed? Indeed, would you bless me? Would you let your divine unmerited favor, would you let it rest upon me? Now listen, obviously Jabez did not think he was blessed, or he wouldn't have asked that. Amen? Amen? That's a given, okay? And so his name, again, he who causes pain, or he who causes sorrow, and so forth. So his very first specific request, bless me, bless my life, bless all that I do, and we'll find out in a moment that God granted all that he requested. Tonight, you know, I hear people say, I wish the Lord would bless me. Well, we're New Covenant Christians, amen? Are we blessed?
Yes.
Man, Ephesians 1:3, thanks be God the Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have been pronounced blessed by God already. Every blessing belongs to you. You're not going to get any more blessings because they already are given to you, and they are found only in one person, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Now, it says in Proverbs 10:22, the Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. All our work, our performance, whatever we do, all our work adds nothing to it. You see, you can say, boy, I serve, I give, I do this, and God says, oh, you don't understand. Your performance will not inherit the blessings. The blessings are only found in one person, and his name is Jesus Christ, and we are in Christ. Amen? So we have been pronounced blessed. So now he moves in his prayer time to the second specific. He says now, as he prays to God, he says, and enlarge my territory. The word enlarge in Hebrew means to literally increase or to multiply, okay? So when he says, enlarge my territory or my border, he's not saying, would you give me a larger home or a bigger car or more money? No, Jabez was an honorable man who loved God. And his desire was not a self-centered desire. It was a God-centered desire. You know what he was saying here as he prayed? He says, God, would you increase my usefulness to you? I want to do more. I want to do my absolute best. I want a new start. I want that freedom to serve you in a greater capacity. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now look at the third specific he prayed for. He says, and that your hand, God's hand, all that God is, he says that your hand would be with me. That your hand would be with me. Not just any hand, but that God's hand would be with him. You know what he's saying? What he's passionate about here? He's talking about what I just talked about on Sunday, those five words that should blow every Christian away. I will be with you. He wanted God's presence, the tangible presence of God in his life. Amen? Is there anything wrong with wanting that? No, not at all. And so he was passionate about it. And he says, Lord, I want your hand. I want your hand to lead me. I want your hand to guide me. I want your power in my life, not my abilities. I don't want my plans. I don't want my purpose. I want whatever you have for me. What is he saying? I want a new beginning. I want to be free from me. I want only to serve you. And I just want you to be so close to me. Remember what Jesus told us? I mentioned it on Sunday. What is it? Matthew 28:20. Jesus, before he ascended, he said, Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. So he prayed that third specific, I want your hand to be with me. Is there any better hand in the universe than God's? No. Now let's look at the next specific. He says, not only that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from what? From evil. Is that wisdom? Man, you better believe it. Lord, will you protect me? Will you keep me from sin? Will you keep me from wickedness? In our case, we could say, would you keep me from the wicked one? Remember in the Lord's Prayer, you know, that we pray in Matthew 6:13, it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, the evil one wants to steal from you. Do you know that? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I can tell you something tonight. Some of us that are here tonight, maybe listening live or here in the chapel, you know, we have allowed the wicked one to give us a name. We've allowed life to give us a name. And God says, no, there's only one that can give you a name, and that's me. Amen? You know, this is very important because, you know, we have to remember that the Lord, is he our guard against the wicked one? Does he guard us and protect us? Yes, he does. Did he give us all the armor of God? What does he say, Paul, what did he say, Ephesians 6:10? Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen? It's his armor, not your armor. We've put on God's armor. And boy, you have God's armor on. No one can defeat you. Amen? 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he's in the world. 1 John 2:14, what does it say? What does it say? and young men, you are strong. Why? Because the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. So deliver us from evil. God has given us everything that we need to deliver us. You know, I tell young people all the time, of the importance of being in the Word of God. Do you know, listen to me now, you must spend time in the Word of God before you go out and spend time in the world. Do you understand? Because if you don't do that, boy, can the world rub off on you? Man, I'm telling you, every day is vital to be in God's Word. Now, look at the fifth specific tonight. He says here, that I may not cause pain. What a word is that? The word pain here in Hebrew is sorrow. And what he's saying literally is that I may have no more sorrow. You know, I don't want to be known as Jabez anymore. He's saying, would you set me free from Jabez? I don't want to be a man of sorrow. I don't want to be a Jabez to others. I don't want to be a sorrow or a pain to others. This short prayer, in our short time we have tonight, believe me, it's going to be short. But loved one, Jabez just went full circle. It started out, he started out with pain and sorrow, and he ends with pain and sorrow. You know what he's saying? He's saying tonight, he's going, Father, I want a new beginning. I want, Lord, stop the hurt. You know what the NIV says? The translation, it says, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. What a word is that? He says, Jabez prayed. What did God do? God answered his prayer, a one-verse prayer. Look at verse 10 again. So God granted him what he requested. You know, Jabez's life was really, it was a contradiction, if you will, a contradiction of his name, because the son of pain, the son of sorrow, God answered his prayer. If God answers his prayer, he's now free, isn't he? Amen. And that's what happened. He's free from the name. He's free from the pain. He is free from the sorrow in his life. You know, I carried a label growing up as a child. And do you know that little children, when you talk to little children and you say things to them and you're an adult, little children, they believe what an adult says, don't they? Amen. And so, you know, and not that I'm trying to, but the honest truth is that I was called many horrible things growing up. And you know what? They were probably right. The fact is, if you don't have a mother or father that's raising you, do you become like a feral child? Yeah. Well, of course, you know, and I was wild, and I know I was wild. But some of the things that people said to me, they stuck with me. Because that name that they put on me, I started thinking, I guess that's who I must be. Because I'm not loved. If somebody loved me, surely they wouldn't call me these things. And like they said, you don't have a mother or father that cares about you, yada, yada, yada. You know, you're just white trash or nothing, you know. You're a hoodlum. That was one of their favorite words, juvenile delinquent back then. Remember that? And so that kind of stuck with me, especially if, you know, when you're 6 years old, that can kind of have an effect upon you. And so what happens is that, like, Jabez, that name can stay with you. Now, Jabez is no longer a little baby, man. He's grown up. And he says, I don't want to be caused, he who causes sorrow. Not for my own mother, for example. And this guy is hurting. And you know the name. What name do you have? Secretly. What name has others attached to you tonight? I think that's really important. And what name, that name that you would never even share with anyone else perhaps, what name do you want to be free from? In other words, where it's a freedom, it's all of a sudden a new start, you know, and so forth. A lot of people, sometimes they're filled with pain, but they never say it. They never share it. They put on a nice face or whatnot. And there's always, you know, you can have a name, the pain of the past. There is pain in the past, isn't there? Things that we go through in life. Sometimes you go through a divorce. And God hates divorce. He doesn't hate the divorced person. But you know what? The pain of divorce, is it painful? Is there a ripping that occurs? Is there a tearing? Yes, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And then there's that pain of sin. Lord, why did I do it? How did I do it? I did it. And that pain in your hearts and so forth. Sometimes we have a name that we don't let out. My name is Wounded. But sometimes it comes through in our actions toward others. Hurt people, don't they? And there's my name might be, I'm hopeless. That's a horrible place to be. When you are without hope, there's nothing worse. Did you know that? That is the darkest place a person can be. The darkest place is to have hopelessness where there's no hope. Someone could give you $10 million and wouldn't crack a smile on your face when a person is hopeless. Or maybe there's a name that the devil or others, or maybe you put on yourself, maybe that name is faithless. I'm just a faithless Christian. Or maybe some of us tonight say, you know what, I'm here, Bill, but the truth of the matter is I've really given up. That's my name. I've just given up and I'm going through the motions. Or my name is addiction. My name is lust. My name is envy. I pray your name is happy, blessed, joyful. Amen. You know, it could be that you're here tonight. You know, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, are you sure this is what you want me to teach? Of course, you know, but it is. Maybe you're here tonight and your name, no one knows it but you do. But your name is broken. I'm broken inside. I know what I'm doing is not right. I know I shouldn't be seeing and looking at the things that I'm looking at on my computer, on my iPhone. I don't know, Lord, you know, I am broken. You surely couldn't want me now. God doesn't, he doesn't care for broken people, does he? Jesus said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you, amen? Does Jesus love broken people? Did you know that broken people is our Lord's specialty? Amen? The Bible says in Matthew 12:20, Jesus quoted, he says, a bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. Talking about the Messiah, our Lord. Do you know that God's desire is always, always to restore? That's what he does. He restores people. Amen? He takes someone who is broken. You know when it says a bruised reed, you know, he will not break. A bruised reed back then was used by the Jewish people. They'd take him out of the water and so forth, but to make flutes. And if they were bruised, they would throw them in the trash because they were no good. But Jesus said, no, the Messiah, he'll take a bruised reed, which is talking about people, not reeds, okay? He'll take a bruised person, no matter how beat up you are, no matter what you've done, no matter the names that you have put on yourself or the name others have put on yourself. Maybe you grew up and, you know, you were told, you know what, you're never going to amount to anything. You'll never be anything in your life. You're just going to be like your uncle or your brother or this or that. Maybe you heard those kind of things. I don't know. But if you did, it hurt you. And it made you, it labeled you. And if you're not careful, you'll bring the past into the future and carry that name with you. God doesn't want that, amen? So any area of where we're bruised or what, God will say, no, you come to me. Sometimes I hear Christians say, they don't say my name is, but that's what they mean. They say my name is failure. I just failed. And I keep on failing. And I just don't know what to do. You know, failure is only to those who quit. Amen? They quit. They give up. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. I don't know if you remember or know this. I know you do. But, you know, God is not only the God of second chances. He is the God of another chance. Amen. Well, and I tell you, I thank God for that. You remember the prodigal son? He came home. And the reason I preached this not too long ago, the reason he came home is because he knew the prodigal father. Amen. He knew the father's love. He knew the father's forgiveness. He knew the father's acceptance. He knew those things. And what did he do? It says that the prodigal son, after he wasted everything, his father's inheritance, he wanted it. Went out and he blew it on harlots and so forth, ended up in a pig pen, you know, taking care of feeding the pigs. And a Jew should never be in a pig pen. Amen? And he said, oh, he came to himself. He made a speech. Prepared it. I'm going to arise. I'm going to go to my father. Father, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me a servant. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against God. I'm going home. He came to himself. But we know the story, the prodigal father, which is representing God. Amen. There he is waiting, waiting and waiting and waiting for him to come home. See, that's what God does with broken people. When any area of your life that's broken, any area of your life that's not functioning spiritually the way God wants it to function, any area, you come to him and he will clean you up. He will restore. He will wash away sin. He will empower you. He will give you freedom. That's what God does. He who the Son makes free is free indeed. I just quoted at the beginning of the service. Amen? That's what he does to people. Now listen, the prodigal father, what did he do? Man, he was waiting and he was watching. And the moment he saw his son coming, you know what he did? He lifted up his skirt, which is not a skirt, but you know what I mean, his trousers or whatnot, and he started running toward his son. That's something Oriental men in that day did not do. And he fell upon his son and he kissed him and he took out the robe, which is the robe of righteousness, and put it on his son, covered all of his shame. Bring me the ring. Put the ring back on his finger. You're my son. Give him the sandals for his feet. He's not a slave. He said, this was my son. Remember the elder brother came to us and said, oh, look what you've done. Oh, you threw a big old party. You killed a Texas Longhorn steer for him. And, you know, look at it roasting out there and so forth. You know, I've never done that to you. And what have you never thrown me a party? And he looked at the father, looked at him and said, oh, son, listen, you've been with me forever. You can have anything you want. But my son, he was lost, but he's found. He was dead, but now he's made alive. Let's rejoice. Amen. That's what we do. God takes those names. Now, the prodigal son stuck with that old boy forever, all right? But God can break that name. Break it. Any of it, because listen to me, your name now is called accepted in the beloved, amen? Your name now is called chosen before time began, amen? Your name right now, loved one, is more than a conqueror. Your name right now is so incredible that nothing can ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, sometimes we need to lay those labels aside and say, God, would you make me free from that? Would you make me free from the fear that runs and controls my life? Fear hath torment, amen? Perfect love cast out fear, loved one. And to where we get rid of that. Or you're in school and you don't add up. You're not the whatever, the popular. Who cares? You're popular with God. Amen? Isn't that amazing to be popular with God? Isn't it been amazing to be called the children of God? Behold, what manner of love God has lavished upon us that we've been called the children of God. It's unbelievable. Look at us, what we were, the names that we were. We were liars, weren't we? Come on. We were selfish and self-centered. We wanted our own way all the time. We were lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And God says, now you belong to me, and now I'm going to make you go from glory to glory to glory, and you're going to be acting like Jesus from glory to glory to glory until you see him. And when you see him, you will be just like him. Amen? That's what it's all about. Labels and names. I pray you don't have a name on you tonight. Name failure or whatever it might be. And you know what? If you do, in this short service, because we're going to conclude right now and I'm going home. Whatever it is. My name is lonely. My name is poor health. My name is Jabez. I feel so inferior. My name is misunderstood. I'm not, my parents don't understand, my father, whatever. Listen, God can wipe that off of you just like he did Jabez. One of the most shortest prayers in the Bible. Can you believe it? And God granted what he requested. And I believe with all my heart tonight, if there's a label on you, a name on you that you've placed there, or the devil has tried to place there, or that others have placed upon you, and you've bought into it, tonight you can go to the one who bought you. His name is Jesus. And he will erase it. Completely. Have you ever seen a chalkboard? I don't know if they still have chalkboards in school. And you know, when I was a little boy back, you know, with Abraham Lincoln and all of them, you know, the chalkboard, you know, you at the end of the service, at the end of school, the teacher would choose certain people to clean the chalkboard. Remember? And it had to be clean because it was for the next school day. Well, you see, you could just look at that chalkboard and see all that junk on there, all the writing and all. And just look at that's your name or that's sin, whatever it might be. But when God cleanses you from sin, it's gone. Do you understand? It's wiped away. The handwriting on the wall is wiped away. It is gone. It is finished. And you can't find it again. That's what God does. So tonight, if you've labeled yourself, given yourself a name, the devil has done so, or if others have done so, and you carry that pain, that sorrow with you, why don't you leave here free? Free forever from that, as our heads are bowed, as our eyes are closed, as not one person looking around. If this, listen to me now, as don't look up, just pray. If this in any way tonight, this short little sermon, just a little word, if you fit anywhere into that tonight and you say, Bill, I do have a name. Others have given me this name. Or maybe the devil's tried to lay this name upon you. And if you want that thing erased tonight, not by your power, but the power from God, erased to where you walk out of here and that name is erased, you'll never have it again. You'll be free just like Jabez was free. Then here's what you need to do. Just lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. Yes, that's right. Yes, yes. I just want it to be gone tonight. Yes, that's right. God bless you. Yes, that's right. Yes, I see. Yes, Father, yes, I see you. Thank you. Father, thank you for tonight. Because only you can blot out those kind of names and give us freedom. So, Lord, you saw the hands of faith that went directly to you because they know, Lord, you can do it. And that's right. We look to you. Whatever names of pain and hurt and loneliness, whatever that name may be called, addiction, whatever it might be called tonight, Lord, they cried out to you, and you hear our cries. And I thank you right now in Jesus' name that every name that is against your sheep, every name the devil has placed upon them, or they've placed upon them, or others have placed upon them, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they are now cleansed. They are now gone. They are now detached. They must exit. And from this day forth, they are free because whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Be removed now. In the greatest name in the universe, in Jesus' name. And the church says, Amen. Amen.